is. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn on to Mark chapter number 4 tonight. It is my pleasure to be back with you, and it's like coming home again, amen? And it's the only place we went home, back to our home church in Salisbury, Maryland, and it is just a few minutes from the Delaware line. And my wife was raised in Delaware, came to our home church, met her there, got married, amen, and the rest is history. There's five of them here to prove it, and with us, and we came down here, and what a blessing it was to be at Landmark Baptist College and be here on staff, and what a blessing it was to be here. It was our privilege, and I thank the Lord for the being able to stand behind. I don't take this lightly to be able to preach here. I mean, this is a great honor and a privilege. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight before we read God's Word tonight. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. And dear God, I pray you do what I can't do tonight, dear God, that you go into hearts and that you take your Holy Spirit there, dear God, and deal with people, dear God, and work on their heart and take the message. And you take the parts of the message that you've reserved for them, dear God, and you do a work in their heart. I can't do that, dear God. I pray that you do in my heart what I need to be done, dear God. Take it and, dear God, with the message, just speak the words that you've given me, dear God, and I pray that you would just anoint me afresh as your vessel, dear God, to speak the words, only the words that you'd have me say. I thank you for it. I thank you for this place and all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Mark chapter number 4, tonight, I'm going to read quite a few verses, and I want to kind of start out with the illustration after I read, but it's probably the best, and I don't want to take credit for it. Brother Sam Davison came to our church during our missions conference and gave us a wonderful illustration of exactly what the Christian life is. I think it's the best illustration I've ever heard in my entire life, and I just think it's worth telling again, and I just want to kind of fit it into my message. I hope you don't feel like I'm dragging it in, but it's worth telling, amen, and if it changed your life, most of the time, if you're a preacher, what changes your life in the Bible is ought to be what you preach, amen. If it's important to you, it ought to be important to somebody else, and I think you can convey that message. And so tonight, we'll start in verse 1. We're going to read a lot of this. Again, this is a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking here to a group of people, and we'll see a lot of it. We're going to read a lot of verses tonight. Verse number 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside in chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Mark. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, I want you to know, I don't have a whole lot of time to spend on that because that's not what I'm preaching on tonight, but I do hope you understand that there were some people that preached that the Lord Jesus was preaching to, that his job there was to save them from their sins and for them not, because they tried several times when he was talking to them to take him. They'd love to take him and made him a king rather than him be the savior of all the world. And here he's saying that it wasn't given to them to know the parable. And here, going on with me in verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then ye know all? How will ye then know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and having no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entered in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, as a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick. I want you to see this tonight, if you would. It's springtime up home. I know you guys have probably been springing and sprunging already a long time before I got down here and everything was in bloom. But up home, we just started, we were almost heartbroken because up there we're just starting to, the buds are just starting to shoot out of the trees. Everything is starting to come forth. Man, the ground's getting plowed and it's springtime up there. I mean, it's starting to really, we haven't had a hard winter, praise the Lord, amen. And I had the first winter we went back, we had snow on the ground and I was kind of a little thin blood, if that's what you want to call it, you know, up there. And so I would, you know, they were calling me a sissy and things because I was wearing a lot of jackets when they weren't. But you know, I fixed all that now. I'm acclimated to the climate. But I want you to know, listen, it's springtime here, and this whole parable deals with sowing. It deals with I know that most of you, when you think of Maryland or Delaware, that area, you know that you think that that's Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and Annapolis, and that's nothing like where I live. I live on an island, amen. It's a peninsula over there to the east, amen, and of everything else. And man, what a blessing it is. There's nothing there. The biggest town is the town that we live in, Salisbury, Maryland. And it is, I think we have 28,000 people in the center of town and the county, you know, about 100,000 people. And so it is a blessing. It's very rural. I grew up on a farm. Our church has a horse camp, amen. We have about 28 horses, and that's what I do. Every morning in the summertime, we get up and saddle horses, amen. And I ain't got to break one yet, not since I've been home anyway. But we've been working and training some horses for this year. And so we not only work on buses, but we work on horses, amen. And so we've got the whole gamut from beginning to end there. But it is a blessing because we turn over the ground and we see all those things. But here, if you look at the parable with me, you realize that Jesus is speaking to them, and this is that mindset coming into the spring. There's a reviving. Do you realize that even with the tree that are budding, it's kind of gone in that dormant phase, and now it was being revived, or it was coming back to life, if you will. And we're coming in, man, I can't wait till Easter. You guys kind of stuck me with that soul winning marathon kind of fervor, and we're going into April, and so my teenagers are, we're going to have our own, our church is going to kind of have our own little soul winning marathon for 3 or 4 days. We get out of school for the school, and we're just going to go after them, amen, and we're excited. And I'm looking for big days and a lot of people to come and visit our church and hear the gospel for the first time. But here, look at me with me in the verse there, in verse number 14. I want you to see this. And the sower soweth the word. The first thing, anytime when we're talking about spiritual things, when we're talking about that seed or the revival of anything, listen, when you're going into field, you got to go with seed. And you've got to have something to plant if you're going to have something grow other than weeds, amen? And so you're going to go out there and you're going to take some seed with you, some good old seed, and you're going to sow it out in the field. And that's what this is about. Listen, we have the word, and this word that we take to the door, sometimes I think we fail to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take a tract to the door, but we don't take the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to the door. And they need that. I was regenerated through the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm standing there, and I know it may take a little bit longer. It may take a little bit more of explaining to them. But listen, I can tell you, when that got a hold of me, that Jesus, Lord Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, you know that makes him different from everybody else. That resurrection makes him so much different than everybody else that's out there. All the other religions and everybody else that thinks that they have something to cling to that's going to get them somewhere, heaven, or they're going to bring in the kingdom, or whatever they believe. Amen. Some people, the Jehovah's Witness today, they don't want to go to heaven. And I don't understand that. But anyway, you know, they want to bring in the kingdom. And I said, you can have it. Amen. And so I want to go to heaven. Amen. And so, anyway, what kingdom they're going to get. But anyway, so this is the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. He says, he that soweth the word, what's the word that you're sowing? What are you sowing? What kind of seed are you planting? I don't know about you, but I want to throw and cast the seed. When I get in the field, I want to cast the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that I'm throwing that, boy, he came and died on the cross for my sins. That he was buried. I mean, he was for real dead. Amen. And then he rose again. Amen. Took the power of himself and rose up out of the grave. Amen. And is alive evermore and sits on the right hand of the throne of the Father. Amen. Listen, that's the Jesus I talk about. That's the Jesus I give at the door. Listen, I don't want to give a tract and just leave them there. Hey, I want to invite you to church. I'll see you next week. Amen. like that. Amen. And sometimes I know, and I'm not saying that, you know, that I have never done that. You know, sometimes when they come to the door with their smartphone and they're dumb people, I just hand sometimes, I, you know, anyway, you know. But you know, think about this with me. This is the illustration I wanted to give you here with the gospel. Think about this, the Lord Jesus Christ, best illustration I've ever heard about what the Christian life is. And we realize that the Christians, listen, you know, if we were supposed to just not do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, then when we got saved, poof, we'd have been on the way to heaven. Amen. We'd have been up there if we weren't supposed to serve. And you know that. I know where I'm preaching. Amen. You taught me that stuff. And so this here, if you could picture a big cross behind me and just think about a cross, think about the cross in this way. From this standpoint, the gospel train, if you will, think about a railroad tracks, and it was a little easier when I was thinking about this. Boy, how many people have ever been around a railroad tracks? You ever cross one? Everything, amen. Don't park on one. And so, the railroad tracks, the first thing they do is lay a foundation. I mean, they have to bring in stone, and they dig that thing out sometimes, and they'll lay a heavy foundation of stone before they ever start work, before they ever do anything. And that foundation, think about that as the Old Testament of our Bible. Think about all those prophets and all the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ that He would come and fulfill in every point. They laid a great foundation. And then Jesus, think about the, have you ever seen it? They have these pieces of wood. They call them cross ties. Amen. And those cross ties, listen, every one of those prophecies, Jesus came and fulfilled one after the other. And laid on top of the foundation that was laid before Him, He said, I fulfilled it. And there's a cross tie. And He laid another cross tie. And He laid another cross tie. Every time that He fulfilled what He said, that what they said that He would come and do, and He did, and every one of those cross ties lays, then He laid His life down on top of what He had already, on the foundation and the cross ties that He fulfilled, then He laid down His rail from Adam all the way to the last man that will ever be. And that rail that He laid down was salvation for every man, and it stretches all the way from the first man to the last one, and that's salvation for every man. Listen, a train don't run on one rail. A train don't run on one rail. It can't get there. The gospel train, I've learned this in my life, every generation has to lay its own rail. And listen, don't think you can lay it however you want to. A train rail has to be laid perpendicular or parallel. Right there, it has to be laid parallel. It has to be an even amount of space and just the same as one end to the other. It has to stay. It has to be staked down, solid foundation. It has to be nailed in place, not moving back and forth and weaving with the wind. It has to be laid so that it's straight up and down. It's not only laid straight, but it's laid straight with the one that was laid first. Hey, we can't just go out there. Listen, if we expect people to come to Christ, then we need to look like Jesus Christ. Listen, when you walk up, I guarantee if you didn't see the tracks laid, you didn't know which track was laid first. If you walk up on that track, amen, listen, that track, that is the best illustration I've ever heard on why I ought to live right. Because I want the gospel train to go to everybody that I love, everybody that's ever been, and I want that train to run, and I don't want it to bob and weep. If you've ever been around railroad tracks, and before I went to Bible college, I worked with my dad, and we had these big train cars, you know, this all these 200 tons of stuff coming in, and man, there was some sour ground in one part of that track, and they had never replaced it. You know, we didn't have many. We weren't spending all the money that the railroad company needed to redo that set of track. And so, man, we just chanced it. And two or three times, they had to come in there and pick one back up and set her back on the rails, because the rails, man, it was getting old and frail. And every once in a while, they'd push out and pop, and that train car would sit down. Listen, boy, we need to lay ourselves with a solid foundation. Listen, that foundation that was laid before the foundation, listen, of the world, they came and told about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those rocks are as solid as it gets. Friend, it doesn't get any solider than that. Listen, there's nobody that can prove, not scientifically, not biblically, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. There's not one, because there was a great foundation laid. And then He came and filled, boy, we could hop, tie to tie, we could go all the way. He went step by step all the way through His life, filling full everything that needed to be full for the Lord Jesus Christ to be called the Messiah. Amen. Hey, and He's my Savior. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Boy, I get excited when I think, listen, He made this whole thing. He could have made it so that they only needed one. See, they don't believe on me. All I'm doing is laying down there. Listen, he laid down his life. Listen, 1 John 3:16. Amen. Hereby do we know the love of God. Amen. He laid his life down, and I'm going to lay my life down. Amen. So that people can know. Not so that I can go. Somebody already laid their life down so that I can know. I'm so glad. Listen, I heard it over and over again. I don't know about you, but I didn't hear it one time and get saved. I heard it over and over and over, and man, the grace of God was in my life and the mercy of God. And finally, one day, I walked the altar and came down and received the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that somebody didn't give up on me. Thank God my preacher that started the church that I'm working in worked 30 years, amen, and started that work, enslaved and laid that rail down beside the Lord Jesus. Listen, we can't stop being faithful now. We can't stop doing what we've always done. Just listen, there's people that still need to get saved.
That's right, brother.
Yes, we may live in the last days, and man, we may be on the American Titanic, and the thing may be headed under the icy water, but bless God, there's people on the deck that need to get saved. And I'll ride her down, and I'll tell them, Jesus saved, Jesus saved, Jesus saves. Man, I'm excited tonight. We've got something worth preaching, amen. We got something worth telling to the whole world. And we know it here. Listen, this is over. This whole thing tells about different people. One of them, the first point, if you're going to take points and you're going to keep it tonight. Number one, that this sower, we sow the word of God. Amen. But the first thing I want you to see is look at this. It says he sows out the word. We know what the word is, the gospel. We took a long time explaining. In verse 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. By when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. Those of you that work in the bus routes, and you work on the bus ministry, and those of you that work in the teen ministry upstairs, you've seen this before. I've seen people when Brother Pounce preaches up there, and the Holy Spirit is convicting their heart, and they're about, I mean, they want to get saved, and then somebody will bump them and say, hey, what are we doing after church? Man, I'm excited on the bus route. I'm excited about what we're doing on the bus. I've seen people on the bus, man. Some of my brother James get up and preach on the bus, and boy, he's getting it. And boy, I could talk to him, but somebody says, man, you don't want none of that. Somebody next to him. Boy, it's just like saying, have you ever been, I mean, up north there, we got all kinds of crows and birds and, man, you know, satanic stuff like that and cats. And anyway, so, and so, we were up there, and I mean, you know, you can go out, and I mean, you sow, and we did some of this down here, you know. You'd sow the seed out there. You'd put seed out, cast it out in the field. We, in the wintertime, when we do rye, it's a cover crop, so we spread it on top of the fields. And man, it's like, it really is satanic looking. Boy, all them crows, that black cloud just descends on the field and just starts to eat the seed as fast as it can. Listen, don't think that Satan's still not working. That he's still not about his business. That even though we're still preaching and we're still telling the truth, that there's not an adversary out there trying to stop us. Don't think that. Listen, and listen, don't worry about, you know, I used to really worry about this before I went to Bible college. I really had a problem with this. I used to really get on the kids. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't correct them, but you know, some of the good kids, some of the kids you thought that shouldn't be talking, that shouldn't have been used by the devil, I was one of them one time. I remember when I was in high school. I'm not so old that I don't remember being a teenager and not keeping my mind in the game, and that this guy needs to get saved that's sitting beside me, and I'm talking to my friend, distracting him. You know, I still correct him, but you know what I realized? That the kid in the pew that's not saved, he just needs reseeding. When we were down here, man, I can't tell you how many times, boy, I forget to turn the water on or something, and we come over here, and we'd be seeding. We'd be seeding an area and trying to get, boy, I get grass. Boy, the grass, you know. And down here, grass is, it's like, oh, you know, the grass is coming up, you know. It's like, I've got grass coming up out of the ground, and I'm trying to water it and keep it going. Man, and I'd forget for 2 or 3 days, we'd get busy. You know, I had like midterms or something. And so, and I was paper due. And man, I'd get down there, and it just didn't get watered for a couple days, or somebody walked on it or something. Man, the grass would be dead. It'd be gone. Man, the seed would be, you know, completely missing from the area or trampled into dirt, broken to pieces. Listen, all that needs, listen, I learned all you need is to reseed. It's time to reseed. Man, they need it again. Go after them. They didn't get saved this Sunday. They were a visitor last Sunday, but that don't matter. Hey, man, they still need the gospel. Amen. I'm going back to their door. I'm going to tell them again and again and again and again. I'm going to be faithful to tell and to be the witness that I need to be. Hey, if they didn't get saved, they need to be reseated.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, as while we keep the re's here, the revival, the reseeding here. In verse 16, and these are they that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and having have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when afflicted or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. I thought about people in our church. We've got people in our church that at home, and you know, there's people there that they just get offended for things sometimes. Sometimes they get offended, they get saved, and you've seen those people get excited, come to church, man, they look so odd sitting in the service, man. They don't, you know, they're just completely, those people that they just look green and they're excited and they think the best, I mean, you know, like you used to be, amen? Excited about the Lord and excited about everything, wanted everybody to get saved. Everybody ought to hear this. This is the best news in the whole world. Man, and something happens at work, boy, somebody tells them they're crazy. Some friend that they've had all their life thinks they've flipped their lid and tells them so. Amen? Those people need to be replanted. I mean, they got genuinely saved, but man, why are we letting them? Why don't we go after them?
Yeah.
Amen? That's what happens. You know, they get that persecution's sake, that plant starts to wither. Boy, they don't get any water. Boy, I learned there's some people in the church house that get in the wrong crowd, and sometimes I have to go with my teenager and I try to pluck that new teenager up and stick them with somebody else. And I take a good teenager and say, listen, this is your buddy. We are on the buddy system. You don't go anywhere without your buddy. You don't let nobody else talk to your buddy. This is your buddy. Amen? We try to replant. Because I know what road he's headed down. I know that I realize and you realize that you're going to become like the people you hang around with.
Yes,
and sometimes if we're just not happy with who we are, we need to replant ourselves.
Yeah.
Not to another church. I'm not talking about that. Amen. Shake it up. Sit on the other side of Landmark. Amen. Amen. I've been like that. I don't know who these people are. I sit over here the whole time. Amen. Love y'all. And so, amen. But you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Amen. Look at this. So reseed, replant here, and then repent. And the cares, look at it. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things enter in. Choke the word, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Think about this. See, I love how the Bible lays everything. You know, the Bible is so good. It covers everything. It doesn't miss. You know, when it's shooting, amen, it never misses. Amen. When it's slinging bullets, it hits its target every time. It says here, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches. And then it says, and the lust of other things entering in. You know, I've never had problems with riches, honestly. You know, I had one time that I was comfortable, but I never was rich. Okay, I never had problems with any of these, but you know, the lust of other things, you know, I found that normal people, good Christian people that have been in church all their lives, man, will get just starstruck with some things every once in a while and just get their eyes off of the prize, amen, off of what they've been working for their whole life for things. It's a sad thing, but I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, we just need to repent from some things. Listen, I'm not talking about bad things. It might just be something that you know is stealing your time so you can't read your Bible.
Yeah.
It might be something that's just stealing your time so that you can't go soul winning anymore. It might be something that's just stealing your time because you talk about, I'm so busy, I wish I could go do this. Listen, sometimes in life we are that busy and we just need to drop something and go do what's right to do. And we know it because we've been commanded to do it. Amen? I've never been commanded to watch TV, not since I was about 5. Amen. My mom said, "You better be here when I get back." And I don't even remember what I was watching back then. We used to do chickens. Amen. I don't even want to talk about that. It's a bad story. Anyway, but I want you to see this. Look at this here with me tonight. I want to give you this illustration. It's a funny illustration, but I want to just lay it out for you. Listen, think about this. Just the way the Word of God lays this out, it not only says that, you know, the lust of other things and the riches and how it explains each and every one of our problems in our lives. And it hit everybody. I don't know where you are. The first time I read that, when God was dealing with me and I was writing these things out in my Bible, amen, He shot me right through the heart for the lust of other things. Just things in my, not bad things, Not things that are wicked, but things that get in the way between me and God. Steal my time. Steal my time with God. God is deserving of every minute of my day.
Amen.
He is so good. Listen, I can't tell you enough. And it says what these things do, and I want to picture this for you, because a lot of times we don't use the word sin anymore and call those things sin. And so I'll call them sin one time and then we'll jump to the whole point. Think about this sin choking you. Okay, we had a teenage boy in our church that, and I'll give two illustrations because this one's funny. This teenage boy was out there. There's a college age kid. Told him, you know, he told this teenage boy, said he was going to beat this college age kid up or whatever. He could out wrestle him. Well, you know, any college age kid that knows a high schooler, a high schooler's really not got, even though a college age student doesn't have much brains, a high schooler's got less, and they are in the middle of this, you know, wrestling match, and the college student thinks it has rules, okay? And the high school student is, it's bragging rights, I have to win. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets that guy in a move, and next thing, this boy, he's on my bus route, so I can talk about him. And so he just, you know, he goes off into this chokehold on this boy, and I mean, he's choking him out. And he's, you know, and I could tell the boy's eyes were getting bigger, and all of a sudden he started to black out. I could tell, you know, I was like, all right, that's the end. You won. All right, nobody dies here on the property. Amen. And so, amen. And give him the $5. No. Okay, so. And so we're there, and I was thinking, man, boy, how is it with sin is just that way? I had this horse. My dad, if I'm on the internet, my dad sees this. Forgive me, Dad, for telling the story. But I love him. And so it makes it okay. And so, amen. And so I had this horse, and his name was Tulsa. Our church got into the horse, you know, camp business, and we were in there, and they only had a few, four or five horses. And so people in the church started buying horses, and we'd take our horses out on Friday night and let them ride. And nobody rode this horse because this horse was crazy, but we didn't know it at the time. And so we went and bought this horse up at the sale, and, you know, the horse, we brought it home. And, you know, I didn't realize, we weren't really big. We didn't own a lot of horses, hadn't been around a lot of horses. Our church, my pastor said we need to get horses, so we went and bought a horse, amen. And we brought it home. We built a nice shed and a corral for it, and we had this horse there. We take it out of the trailer, been up there, you know, about 3 hours ride home after. In the ring, when we bought this horse, man, that guy was riding that horse around just like, I mean, it was pretty horse. Boy, he is just steering that horse around. I was like, anybody can ride this horse. It's a beautiful horse. We bought the horse. I think we paid $500 for it, took it home, you know. It was a good, healthy horse. And, you know, got it out of the trailer, and I said, come on, Dad, let me ride that thing. I was going to ride it. We didn't have a big fenced-in acreage, you know. Dad's like, no, this horse might run off with you. I don't want that to happen. You know, I love you. And, you know, he didn't let me ride it today. But, but I mean, he got on this horse, right? And, you know, evidently the horse had been drugged to be calm. And then it hadn't kicked or done anything, you know. But, boy, he got on that horse, and he went like that, and that horse went, pew. And I mean, it took off. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it didn't have a bit. If you know anything about a horse, it didn't have a bit. It had what they call, what we call a hosel up there. And what it does is cut the air. So a horse that's not a really good horse, a lot of times will not be trained with a bit, because after they get past the bit, they can take that hosel, and all it takes is a little pressure on the horse's head, and it'll go where you want it to go. And that hosel, man, so he had no bit in his horse's mouth. There was nothing. He was pulling back, but it does cut the air off of the horse. Choking it out. If you know anything about a horse, you've seen a racehorse running. Boy, them nostrils, boy, they're running, and poof, 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 that horse is getting it. That air is going into its lungs, and it's running a race, friend. Listen, this horse took off, and it was running. It was doing a pretty good job of getting out of Dodge with my dad pulling back on it. And he's riding and riding and riding, and I can see him bouncing and about to lose his seat. And so he said, you know, he comes back. Well, he walked back about a half hour later with the horse walking back, leading the horse. And so he didn't ride it back, amen. But that horse, he said, I got up down there past about to the woods. I mean, this horse run him a mile away. And he said, I let loose of the reins, kind of let him up, and I thought I'd get a good holt and ride this thing out, because there's no way this horse can run any faster. He said, when I let go of that thing, think about this. Boy, that horse got every bit of air that it could get. And that horse got a whole nother gear. Amen. And Dad said it run him not fast. He said, I didn't know a horse could run that fast. And it ran him down through the stop sign, past the neighbor's house, and on down into a cornfield before my dad got that horse woed up and come walking back home. But listen, think about how you would be Christian if we just let some of those things, and we repent and get that sin out of our lives. Think about my dad as being that old sin, or that lustful thing that's on your back.
And throwing that thing off and getting that full air that you used to have. How would you run for Christ if you didn't have sin in your life? Not being choked off by the sin that slows us down. I mean, I can run and I can act like everything's good and that's all the wind I could get. But boy, I can tell you what, man, Jesus is worth living for 100%. Amen. He's worth living so clean for that you can get all the clean air you can get a hold of. Amen. Where you can take a big old breath and say, "Woo! If I was the horse, I can tell you what the horse was thinking. He was thinking, when that guy, listen, if Satan was on my back and I got clear of sin, a preacher come and preached on my sin, and I came to the altar and got it cleared up with God, boy, I could take a fresh breath of air. I'd be like, "Woo! You better get ready because I'm getting ready to run.
Amen.
I would have been like, "Woo! I can tell you that horse was thinking to himself, I'm getting ready to show you something. And boom, he took off like lightning. My dad said, I can tell you, my dad come back when, you know, he didn't have much hair, he's like me, and his head, the back was blowed back, you know, and his eyes were like that, and I said, man, and he said, that horse can run. Amen? And I want the devil to have the same look, amen? I want him to have that same mindset, boy, when I get cleared up, when I get that chest full air, think about the air, man, and the blood. I mean, I know the life is in the blood, but there's a bunch of oxygen that goes into that blood. Amen. Think about that for a second and how that pertains to the Christianity in your life. And boy, when that blood in your body, boy, my blood boils, amen, sometimes at sin. But we'll leave that alone. We'll move on. I want you to move on down to the next verse with me tonight. Listen, I don't know about you, but I think there's some times and there's some people in our churches that need to be reseated. There's some people that need to be replanted. There's some people that they just need to repent. From little things. I'm not talking about wicked sin. I'm talking about just little things that keep us from doing what we ought to do for God. Yeah. And then there's some of us that need to be reminded of how good we've got it. Amen. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Think about that. Some 30, some 60 and some 100. What was it that they did? And bring forth fruit. What's the Christian's job? What am I supposed to be doing? Bringing forth fruit. I'm supposed to be a fruitful Christian. Not a fruit. Maybe to the world I might seem like a fruit. You know, if somebody was in here and unsaved tonight, they'd probably think I'm crazy. Amen? I've got family members that sit in here and go, "What in the world?" Amen? Listen, I want to, some 30, some 60, and some 100. What's your goal, Christian? What are you aiming at? What you're aiming at, listen, you're not going to hit what you're not aiming at. Amen? I want to have faith. Listen, and even if I started out, even if I started at 30, when I reach there, I'm going for 60. And even if I hit 60, then I'm hoping someday I'm going to hit 100. Listen, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but we ought to have some fruit to show for our life. The only thing I ever seen Jesus really get upset at other than money changers was a fig tree that didn't bring forth fruit. And it didn't fare well. Amen. Listen tonight. Listen, we need to be reminded that we've got a God that gave a son.
Amen.
To die on Calvary's tree for you and I, that went and did everything that we couldn't do so that we could be saved. And if you're like me, I grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church where God could raise me up and do some work in my heart, in my life. Listen, my mom took me down memory lane. I was over there with her the last couple days. What a blessing that was. She pulled out letters from my youth pastor. Letters that I didn't remember that he ever wrote. Boy, he gave me this plaque for Christian service. Little piece of paper. I hadn't seen that since I was a teenager. My mom saved that for me. That was a godly heritage. It was a blessing in my life. I'm a youth pastor today. Do you know what I thought to myself? Maybe if my youth pastor hadn't cared enough to give me something and said, "Hey, that a boy. You're doing pretty good. That a boy." I need to be reminded just where I came from and what God has done in my life. I need to be reminded that what I'm supposed to be about doing. I need to be reminded that God loves me and that I got a work to do. And some people need to be reseeded. Some people need to be replanted.
Amen.
And some people need to repent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to be reminded all the time of just how good I got it.
Amen.
And we all do.
Amen.
I need to be reminded every day. This book will do it. What a looking glass. Boy, I tell you, sometimes you ask my wife, you know, I tell her all these stories about things that have happened to me. I've been run over by an excavator and all these things. You know, I bumped my head on, we were over the house we lived in over here, and I tore one of the cabinets off of my head. I stood up, and it just shows how hard-headed I am. I mean, the cabinet just came off. I just stood up. Normal, most guys would be like this, and I was like, that would have killed a normal man. But, every time I go back to that book, and every time, I still think I'm that 18-year-old guy. My mom brought me back memory lane when I had hair. Amen. And I got married, and I married early at 19 because I knew what my dad looked like. And if there was hereditation going on, I was headed that way. So I was like, hey, okay, we're good. Let's get married. Okay. And it was early, because I knew that it was leaving. I knew it. I was, amen. It was going to relocate. Okay. We're going with Reese. So I thought we would just, And so, but I need to be reminded, and you need to be reminded just how good God, listen, I go to the mirror in my bathroom and I'm reminded every morning just how old I am. And you know what? As a Christian, every morning that I go to the Word of God, it reminds me that I'm not so good. It reminds me how good I got it and that God has blessed me, that He saved me even when I was a sinner, when I was no good, bound for hell, that He just reached down and plucked me up. Amen. And then He set me on a solid rock. Amen. Amen. And then He gave me a song to sing. Amen. Amen. Then He gave me, not only did He give me a song, but He gave me a purpose. Yeah. That was much higher than any other purpose in this land. Do you realize, listen, I don't sing. We went up there tonight, and don't take that out of my daughter. I forgot the words halfway through there. Amen. I was just getting into it, and I was afraid I was going to fall because I was standing like this over the step, and I was just nervous, and I got about 100 degrees over there, and next thing you know, I started singing the wrong words, and then she couldn't play because she was like, what? And so don't blame her. She's a really good piano player. It was all Dad. Amen. And I love her, amen. I'll cover for her all the time. And so, it was really my fault, amen. But listen, I come to the Word of God and I'm reminded of what God does for me. I'm reminded that I still got some room to grow. I'm reminded that I've got a job to do and there's fruit. There's fruit that I need to be after. And I need to be productive for the one I love. Listen, I don't know about you, but I think about this last one. Look at it with me, and we'll kind of incorporate this next verse, and then I'll move on to the next point. But, and He said unto them, as a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick. Listen, I don't know about you, but God will provide is what we sang tonight. God has provided through my life, but He's provided a place to serve all through my life. He's always taken me to a place where I could serve Him and I could grow. And then when I got, and He was ready to move me, He just picked me up and moved me where else He wanted me so I could grow there and flourish and be what I ought to be for Him. And I pray if I continue to yield myself, He'll continue to do that throughout my life. And He'll be that for me. But listen, all that time I've been gaining rewards. Not because that's what I live for. That's not what I want to do. But that's what's coming up next. But listen, He says, think about this question here. Is a candle brought? I've had some time when the light's gone out in our house. It happened more often when I was here in Florida than it does up north. But it happened quite a bit. And we'd keep candles and some flashlights. And everything, the candle was, and I know the day and age we live in, but I don't buy candles just to smell the place up, okay? Okay, men have candles so that we can see, not to have dinner by, not all that. I mean, it's when the lights go out and we need something to see with, we have a candle. And amen, and I'm glad that we have some of those smelly things around, because if I didn't have those, when the lights went out, I wouldn't be able to see. And so, but those candles, a candle is brought to be used. Not to cap it off and never use it, or just to be a pretty thing that I have. The Lord Jesus, listen, you were not brought up in a church just to sit up on the shelf. Not just to look pretty, not just to dress up and come to church, but to be used of God. to be a light shining to the world. Listen, this week it's been ever more present. We went downstairs, we were staying on the road. You know, I came down and we stopped at this Country Inn and Suites, amen. And the one we stopped at first didn't have any room, so we drove on, amen. And we went on to the next one. We stopped in there, and in the morning we had breakfast, and I had my Bible out. You know, I wasn't dressed up like a preacher. I wasn't all suit and tied first thing in the morning. I don't usually drive on 95 like this, amen. But I was sitting there, and this lady came out. And you know that lady, my wife and my kids, it was a great time. Ever more reminded that my light ought to shine. And she said, that's my favorite book right there. Amen. She started talking about her husband and herself and how they had problems about the church they're in. And she thought it was doctrinally wrong and had some questions for me. Listen, I don't know about you. Listen, I want to be light. Amen. I want to be shining when people need me to shine. Amen. There's some people that are near it. Listen, we could call it a lighthouse or whatever you want, but listen, if there ain't no light, people can't see the way. And sometimes they're sitting there in darkness and all they needed was a Christian that instead of covering up with a bushel, hey, how about being a Christian? If somebody wants to cover you up, you burn the bushel up. Amen. Amen. Come on. Don't put up with it. Burn the bushel up if they try to cover you up.
Amen.
Be a candle. Listen, Man, we sang it as a kid. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What happened to it? Do you ever sing that anymore? Is that your song for your life? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to go around to everybody. Everybody's going to know I'm a Christian. Not because I told them that I was. Not because I was sitting there with my Bible. Not because I put it up as a prop. She said, I love that book. You know, it took her another 20 minutes to swing it around. It was after she heard my little daughter that's 2 years old pray for everything that was at the table in the midst of all the big men and all the construction workers and everybody else that was around there. She heard that little 2 year old pray. Saw my family. You know, she didn't just come up to me because I had a Bible. There's a lot of people that tote Bibles around, by the way. Some of them ain't the right kind, and I don't need to preach on that here, I don't think. Listen, I want you to know, listen, we need to be light. The world needs light more than any other time. This is the darkest time that the world has ever been. I'd even say since the days of Noah. Amen. I'm looking for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for him. I know Paul was looking for him, but I'm a lot farther down the road. Amen. I'm looking for him too. Listen, I don't know about you, but this thing of rewards, and I'll finish with this. Think about this. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears, let him hear. To hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, for him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Listen, I know that the context and everything there, but it fits a lot better when I say reward. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to you? And I know all that spells, but my time is short, and I want you to say, listen, I want you to understand that we need to reseed some things, some people. We need to replant. We need to repent. We need to be reminded of how good we have it. And we need to think about the reward. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and I'm not going to answer for one sin that I ever committed because he paid for every one of them. But I'll stand in front of him, and I'll give an account one day for every opportunity that he gave me to serve him and I didn't. I'll stand there, and he'll dump out all these things. I think about it all the time. I think about this thing. How much of that he's going to dump out my feet that I did for me, or I did to be seen of men? How many of those things are actually going to last? Listen, that's my life now. It's everything. You realize I've bound every... Listen, I don't know about you and where you're at, and I hope that every Christian, doesn't matter whether you're full-time, you ought to be full-time. Now, I'm not talking about getting paid. I'm talking about everywhere you are, you're a Christian. Amen. It doesn't change wherever you go. It's a full-time job. Amen. Amen. But when you're bound, that's what you're sold out on. That's everything to me. I'm not looking for, I don't have an IRA on earth. Amen. I'm laying it all up on the other side. I'm looking forward to that. But listen, I'm wondering how much of that. I've got to be careful about my motives. I got to be careful about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Am I doing it because I love him? Listen, you will do it if you love him. But there's a lot of us somewhere in the middle. Man, some of those things we do just out of duty. I'm not saying that we won't get rewards for that. But man, he's going to be the one that judges all those things. I don't look forward to that day. I look forward to standing before him and seeing his face. But I can tell you right now, there's some things I've done in my life that I've done in the flesh. And I'll say, if we all were honest, we'd probably say it. And I'm glad, listen, I guarantee you there's people that have been saved even times that I showed up in the flesh. Even times that I just went through the motions. And listen, they'll be thankful in heaven that I went through the motions. But I won't. I wish that I had gotten up and got right with God and repented and went in there, boy, as a ball of fire and ran up and down the place and telling, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Listen, this little light of mine, this thing about repenting, listen, even this. Think about all these things and then put it in perspective with the gospel train. Do you realize that that foundation that's laid before the foundation of the world, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every cross time, then he laid his. Listen, there's a generation. Every one of you are part of a generation. And it takes the laying down of your life to make sure that gospel train runs the track and keeps going. Amen. Think about your life and think about where you're at. Who is it, grandparent, that's in your family that needs to be reseated? You know, I went home and I've been through every bit. When I was at Bible college, don't think I didn't go home and talk to every bit of my family. My dad's got 13 brothers and sisters, 12 that were living back then, and they've lost a few. But I went, man, there was some of them are hard nuts to crack, boy. My dad, listen, I grew up in church, but my dad never, his family never went to church. Never heard the gospel. Boy, the assistant pastor, they were picking me up on the bus, and man, I got to go to church. And then I begged and begged my parents to come, and they came for one of those, you know, bubblegum Sundays or something that they had on a bus. And Thursday night, some assistant pastor lived in the house I live in now. Came and knocked on my door, told my dad about Jesus and how he can save. Amen. My dad got saved, gloriously saved, amen. Changed his whole life. Amen. Listen, I'm a product of that, but let me tell you, all the other side of that family, they don't have that same story. And I go to everyone, I'm listening. You know what I learned? I went to them all while I was in Bible college. But when I went back home, some of them said no. They just need to be reseated. There's some of my family grew up in the church I grew up in. They're not there right now. They need to be replanted. Claim to be saved. Know the Lord. Love him, but don't come. They need to be replanted. There's a lot of Christians in our churches today that need to repent of just little things, not big things, not things that you would be hiding. But man, it's just going something that's between you and God that's just keeping you from him. Keeping you from being close to him. Then every one of us, and tonight what I wanted to do is come and remind you that there's rewards, that you got it good, that we're about to go out. Listen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come back, I believe, and we need to be about getting some fruit. Amen. Listen, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here tonight,